Good morning. You look fabulous. Can I just say that? You look really good. You look like you're filled with the light of Jesus, and I love that. That is awesome. So thank you for encouraging me to have some nice time away last week, and thank you to Dave for filling in while I was gone. I had a beautiful vacation with my family down in South Carolina. For the first time, and probably since I was in high school, I went to the beach with my mom. And my siblings, four of my five siblings got to go with us. So we had 5 days at the beach. My siblings, no children, no grandchildren, just my siblings and my mom and I. And we had a great time. God gave us beautiful weather. About 2 weeks before we were due to go, I checked the Weather Channel. You know how you do that? And I know it's not reliable that far out, but it basically had three hurricanes hovering over the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm like, oh no, this might not be good. We might be in Scrabble wars all day, every day on the inside, you know, because we play Scrabble in my family. And I'm good, just for the record. I love words. It's a thing. But I checked again as we got closer, and every day that I checked, one of the storms would move away. You know, I kept checking the radar. We had perfect weather every day, not one drop of rain, not one cloud in the sky. We were able to walk to the sunrise every morning. We were there, my sister, my mom, and I took about a 2-mile walk every morning to the sunrise. So we had a beautiful time, saw dolphins every day. Dolphins are cool to see. We just had a great time. So thank you for being understanding that I need a vacation too. Because I did. Today we're continuing our message series, No Secret Mission. I thought it would be good for us to revisit our mission statement for Oak River. And E3 is how we abbreviate it. What's the first E for? Yes, encounter God. Encounter God. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. If you missed last week, Dave gave a fantastic message. I really encourage you to go online and listen to it. It's easy. It doesn't cost anything. So that's good. OakRiverChurch.com, media files, and you'll see it there. It's very, very good. I really enjoyed it this week when I got home. I listened to it. But I'm going to start today with encounter God. It's one of our core values at Oak River Church. We know and we teach and we practice the fact that one encounter with God can change your whole life. There's healing in an encounter with God. There's redemption. There's renewal. There's answers. There's strength. Like, whatever you need, you can get with an encounter with God. And so I couldn't resist looking at the life of Gideon. Didn't want to resist it today and talking about this. Before I do, I want to make an announcement. You want to jot this down. This is really important. So when Natalie and Carly and I went to Isle of Man back in June, one thing that really I felt like God impressed on me is he had me notice that there were two or three churches there who had brought an entire team from their church to be part of that event. And I felt like it stirred something inside of me. And so I started talking with them about it. I said, I really feel like we're supposed to take a team from Oak River Church to Bethel Redding in California. So we've been talking about it, praying about it, looking at dates for it. But I want to give you the heads up now to mark your calendars for January 23rd through the 28th. If you want to go and be part of a team that goes, the church is not covering the cost. Not for me, not for you. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to do that. But basically, the cost will be whatever airline flight we could get. How much are you guys paying to go to California this week? Do you know the price of the ticket? Huh? Couple hundred, $200 to $300, somewhere in that range for a flight, typically. And then we will, depending on how many people we have going, we'll find a house out there to rent together. So we'll divvy the cost up, just like I did with my family at the beach house this week. We just said, okay, here's your part. We'll do it that way, the cost of food. So that'll be on you. I can't imagine it being more than, I don't even know. I don't want to give a number because I don't want to disappoint anybody. Start saving now. Just start saving. Tuck $50 back here, $50 there, and see if you can collect enough money to join us on that. I would love, the number I have in my head is 10 people. I would love to take 10 people from Oak River. Here's why. We're not going to a conference there. We're just going for their regular services, okay? Unless they happen to have a conference that weekend, and then we'll be part of the conference. I know in my heart that if we can get a group of us to go and see what it looks like there to incorporate a corporate encounter with God, I think it'll change us. It'll change the way we do things here. And so I just hunger for you to see it in action, because the first time I saw the move of God that's happening there, it changed me. I went, and I've been at church my whole life, but it opened my eyes to some possibilities. And so I would love to have at least 10 of us go. If there's 20, I'll shout hallelujah for sure. But 10 is like, Jesus, 10 people, that would be fantastic. So if you can be part of that, that would be so good. So Gideon today, we're going to talk about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. We're going to stay in Judges 6 the whole time. So I think it's going to be easy to stay up with me. We're going to look at three different encounters that Gideon had with God and what happened as a result of those encounters. And we're just going to look at it today. The first encounter happens in Judges 6:12. Let me give you some backstory. Israel was in trouble. Everybody say, again. Because they spent a lot of time in trouble, didn't they? They would have an encounter with God, and they would do well for a while, and then they would kind of drift off into disobedience and rebellion, and then they would cry out, oh God, help us, and he would. That's kind of what's happening here. It's so bad that the Midianites, their arch enemy at that time, are coming through and raiding the gardens that they try to grow. They're raiding the wine vats. They're raiding everything, their weapons storage. And so we find Gideon, who's hiding out in a wine press, and he's trying to thresh some wheat that can't be found by the Midianites so that his people don't starve. So it's desperate times, desperate, desperate times. And Gideon is not out fighting a battle. He's basically a farmer's assistant. Okay? Get that in your head, because that's important to the story. And it says this in Judges 6:12. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon in the wine press and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Does anyone else find that humorous, that Gideon is hiding out in a secret place and trying to thresh out some wheat in secret that his family can nibble on to stay alive, and the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty hero? The Lord is with you. I find that funny. Because there are times in my life when I felt like I was the one threshing out the wheat and hiding, and God says, you're a mighty hero. And I'm like, really? Doesn't feel that way. Here, what's interesting is we see Gideon has an encounter through presence and conversation. But here's what you need to know. When it says the angel of the Lord, almost all theologians agree that that's not just a regular old angel. That's actually a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Most theologians believe that's what it is. Whether or not it was that, at the very least, it was a messenger from God. At the very least. But it's interesting because Gideon doesn't recognize that he is the Messiah, or that he is even a messenger from the Lord. And I wonder how many of us have encounters with God and we don't recognize we've had an encounter with God. We just chalk it up to coincidence, or we chalk it up to a person. and we miss. I believe God encounters us every day. I really do. He's big enough. And do we miss it? So here we see encounter through presence and just a regular conversation. I love that God doesn't see Gideon here as what he is doing. He sees him as what he will do. And that is huge, because some of us in this room, we are doing something that we think is menial. And God says, oh, you are a mighty hero. You are a mighty warrior. So let's just look at Gideon's response to that. In the next verse, in the New Living Translation, is what I'm speaking from the whole day. Sir, Gideon replied. I can just hear the sarcasm. Do you ever read into scripture and like you try to put yourself there? I can hear Gideon dripping with sarcasm. Maybe because sarcasm is one of my gifts. Not a spiritual gift, but it's still a gift. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? I bet none of you have ever said that before. She says with sarcasm. And where, I have said this, where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Most of us, when we hear Gideon's response, this is what we see. If you play baseball, you know what this is, right? Who knows what this is? What? Strike, thank you. It's actually a strikeout. Haven't you ever been at the baseball games and you've seen people hang up the big K? Because it's a big old strikeout, right? So we're just going to put it up here as a little reminder of Gideon's strikeout. Because when you're told the Lord is with you, the answer shouldn't be, oh yeah, why has this happened? Not the best answer. I've done it, but it's not the best answer. So most of us go, strike. Oh, I love God so much. I love his response to Gideon, because I probably, if I were God, would have squashed him like a bug in that moment. Or at least made him suffer for a little bit, like stricken him with boils or something, you know. I'm so glad God doesn't deal with me the way I would deal with others, because it's just a beautiful thing of mercy and grace. I love that God doesn't answer his question. He never says, this is why. I love that. But in verse 14, it says that the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. That's funny, people. Because Gideon's not feeling very strong. So God says, it's all right. Whatever tiny bit of strength you have, just go with that strength. It's all good. And rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. He's like, listen, we're not going to talk about why. Here's what you need to know. Just go with whatever strength you have, and you're going to do this mighty, mighty thing. Now, here's what you need to know about the Midianites. It was an army so large that the number of camels they had were compared to the sands on the seashore. The camels, not the people. Obviously a massive army. And Gideon, who's hiding out threshing wheat, is going to lead the Israelites into a victory over that army. So Gideon has to speak up again. And he says, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? First he asks why. Then he says, how is this going to happen? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least in my entire family. A little bit of identity issues. going on there, right? We don't know if that was actually true. Even if it was, it doesn't matter. But notice how Gideon saw himself. Strike two. Strike two. Because God never said, it's because you're so amazing that this is going to happen. He just said, it's going to happen. Strike two. Gideon. Me. You. Right? I love God's response to him. In verse 16, the Lord said to him, I will be with you. Sometimes that's all we need to know. I will be with you. Sometimes that's enough. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Huh? The army that's so big you can't even count it? Gideon is going to fight and win against them as if it was one man. Here's what I love. Sometimes when we don't have enough faith to trust in our identity in Christ, God says, that's all right. Just take my identity. Just count on mine. If you can't count on yours, count on mine. Now, I believe in identity in Christ. I do. You know, I've preached it many times. I believe that God calls us who we are, and I believe I am who you say I am. I believe that. But there are times when that's not enough for me, people. Honestly, there are times when there are too many competing voices in my head that cause me to question who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. And so when that happens, I believe God says, chill, I'm with you. Count on me, not on you. And that should be enough, right? I will be with you. Gideon, good old Gideon, that I identify with so much. His response in verse 17, I'm going to summarize this one instead of read it. He says, okay, I need a sign. Have you ever said those words? I need a sign. God knows, when I was looking for a place to live, a place to buy, I'm like, God, it doesn't matter where it is. It really doesn't matter to me. You know, I can live in plenty and I can live in want. It really doesn't matter. But I need to know that I know that I know that I know that you're calling me to this place. So just give me lots of signs, you know? So Gideon says to this guy, prove it. That's what he says. Prove it. Well, most of us would be like, strike three. You're out of there. Strike three. You're not supposed to ask the angel of the Lord to prove anything. What? You're just supposed to believe, not question. Not only that, but Gideon says, okay, I want you to prove it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait. Just wait right here. I'm going to go home and do some stuff, and I'm going to come back and just wait, if you would. Just hold on right here. Right? So he goes home. Says he hurried home, which I don't know why, because then he cooked a goat. Now, I don't know how many of you have cooked goats lately, but I'm assuming it takes a little bit of time to cook some goat, right? I don't know. He cooked up a goat, and he made some unleavened bread. I'm condensing it now. He brought it back along with the broth he had cooked the goat in, and there was the angel of the Lord still waiting. I can just see, like, the angel of the Lord sitting on a rock somewhere going, okay, how long is this going to take? Like, I can just see it in my head, and it's funny to me. So then Gideon, he laid the cooked goat out on this rock, and then he put the unleavened bread beside it, and then he took the broth, and he poured the broth over the meat and the bread. And then he said, okay, do your thing. The angel of the Lord, a.k.a. Jesus, a.k.a. messenger, touched the food with the tip of the staff in his hand, and the food was immediately consumed with fire. okay then. Now remember, what had Gideon said? Prove it. The angel of the Lord proves it. Surely Gideon's like, woohoo! Nope. He goes, I'm gonna die! People, if you can't laugh in church, there's something wrong. Just saying. We laugh at Oak River. We have fun. I'm gonna die. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face, and I'm gonna die. And Sandy's translation of that, that the angel of the Lord said, chill, you're not gonna die. Gideon finally got it right. Ooh, after how many strikes? Yeah, four. In a short passage. His response at that point, I love his response. Worship. He built an altar and he worshiped. You know what I love about altars? You get altered at the altar. Now, if you're a spelling person, you know what that means. Alter, to change, is spelled A-L-T-E-R, but altar, the kind of altar that Gideon built, is A-L-T-A-R, and I love that you get altered at the altar. Something shifts. When you stop and you build a moment of worship. I was reading in Acts this week in my personal devotions, and one thing struck me that I don't think I've ever really been struck by before, talking about the early church. I think it's in Acts 2. And it says that the people lived in continual awe of God. And I was like, oh God, that's what I hunger for Oak River. Let us be a people who lives in continual awe of you. Gideon, at this point, built an altar and lived in continual awe of God. But he also had an understanding of God at the altar. He gave God a new name. The Lord is peace. The Lord. I find that fascinating because Gideon has just been told he's going to go into battle. And he encountered the Lord of peace. And I think many of us try to go into battle before we encounter the Lord of peace. And when you encounter the Lord of peace, you take a different approach to the battle. I love that. That's just a little tidbit. I'm like, wow, that is amazing. His second encounter came through a dream or words. We don't know. We just know it happened at night. So we're not sure if it was a dream or if it was just an appearance and words. We don't know. But we know this in Judges 6, 25 and 26. That night, the same night, I like that it specifies that. The Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. How specific is God? Woo! Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel. The fuel is the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. Another funny moment, if you're paying attention. Tear down the false gods' stuff and use that as fuel to build an altar to the one true living God. I think it's very significant that God had him do this before the battle. I think many of us in this room, we have dug wells to try to satisfy ourselves. And God says, no, I am the only one who satisfies. Get rid of that well. He's not content. Why? Why? Why was it important to God to tear down the false God? He's not intimidated by it. I think it's important because God did not want, this is just my musing, I don't think God wanted anyone else to get credit for what was about to happen. So he said, we need to get rid of this over here so that no one can say it was Baal or Asherah who did it for us. finally, Gideon doesn't strike. Yes. But it's kind of funny because he obeyed, but he did it in secret. So we might call that a half strike. I don't know. But we'll be gracious and just call it a hit. Because he at least obeyed, right? The final encounter we're going to talk about today happened next. Encounter. There's some parts in between that are very interesting that we don't have time to go into today. But I would encourage you to read Judges 6 and 7 in the coming week, especially if you feel like you need an encounter with God. I would really encourage you to read it this week. But we're going to go over to Judges 6, 34. And I love this. Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Some translations say the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. Some translations say the Spirit of the Eternal touched Gideon. One translation says the Spirit of the Lord empowered Gideon. I don't know what it looked like, but what I know is that there was a supernatural encounter that happened. Supernatural empowerment. There was an encounter that happened that led to supernatural empowerment. I want to know what that looks like. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, can you press the play button on that video? Because I really want to see what it looks like. What does that look like? I know in my life, when that's happened, sometimes it's weeping, just weeping. It's another one of my spiritual gifts, weeping. I don't know. You know, I'm good at it. Sometimes when I encounter God in a supernatural way, it just moves me in a way that I have no other way to respond than by tears. Sometimes it's shouts, hallelujah. Sometimes it's song that bursts out of me in the deepest part of me. Sometimes it's this holy reverence comes over me and I can't say a word and I'm just supernaturally moved. When it happened to Gideon, he blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. And the soldiers came running, 32,000 of them. Gideon's ready, right? He's had a supernatural encounter with God. Surely the Spirit of the Lord coming down and clothing him solves all the problems, right? No. No. What was Gideon's response? Prove it. Some of us, we think if we've had an encounter with God, we're not supposed to have any questions or any doubts. That's just not true. It's not. Gideon said, 32,000. God, could you just prove to me that this is really you? Huh. So you've probably heard about laying out a fleece before. That's become a common thing. So he was the first one who ever did it. He took a wool fleece and he laid it on the ground that night. And he said, God, if this is really you calling me to do this, could you just make sure the wool fleece is soaked with dew, but the ground around it is completely dry? Yep. Strike five. What? So the next morning, Gideon got up, and there was so much water in the fleece that he wrung it out and filled a bowl with water. And the ground around it was completely dry. Should have been enough, right? Not for Gideon. He said, listen, God, please don't be angry with me. But could you do the opposite now? Strike six. Does anybody else notice that God doesn't squash him like a bug? Does anybody else notice that God doesn't even say, what's your problem? He doesn't say, "You were getting on my last nerve." He doesn't do any of that. Gideon said, "This time I'm going to put the dry fleece out there. Could you just make sure that fleece stays dry and the ground around it is all wet?" That's what happened. Here's the thing. What if God didn't see these as strikes? We see them as strikes. What if God didn't? We don't see any, not one indication of impatience from God on this. We don't see one indication of frustration from God. We don't see any indication, "That's it, you're done. I'll find somebody else who's out hiding and I'll use them." No, we don't see any of that. What if God doesn't see them as strikes? What if he sees them as, whoops, home runs, home run, home run, home run, home run, home run? What if that's how God sees it? Why? Why? Can't have the strike showing anymore. That would just be very bad. What if God loves when we ask questions, even if he doesn't answer them? What if God is okay? What if he's secure enough that he goes, "I understand that you need proof. I understand that you want a sign. I love that your heart is so after me that you want to make sure you're following me." What if that's how God sees it? Why is that important? Because you and I, when we have encounters with God, we allow ourselves to get beat up for asking some of the same questions Gideon asks. And we think somehow we're not spiritual enough to be used by God because we dare to ask a question. I don't think so. I don't know what you're going through today, but I really felt like that God's told me in advance. And by the way, Ken, it is really good to see you today. I'm so happy you're here. I'm happy you're here. Bless you. I'm really glad you're here. Carly, I'm glad you're here too. Love you. Just had to do that because I didn't want to forget. I really feel like there's people here today that you've had an encounter with God, or you're hungering for an encounter with God. And I don't know if it's going to come through a presence or a regular conversation with someone who looks like a person. I don't know if it's going to come through a dream. I had a dream 3 weeks ago that I know were from the Lord. I know it. I'll share one of them with you one day. It's not time yet. I shared it with the elders, but not today. Maybe you need an encounter through a supernatural touch because you need power to do what God is calling you to do. I encourage you today, if that's the case, I encourage you to call out to God and say, "God, I need you." He doesn't see it as a strike. He sees it as a home run. Never once in my experience as a mom, ever, never, ever, ever, has one of my kids ever come to me and said, "Mom, I really could use your help with something," that I went, "What a bother." No, no. I do teach them to do things for them. I did when they were younger. Now that they're older, if they reach out to me, I feel so honored and so valuable in their life that they would want to seek me out. If I'm a human being and I love so weakly in comparison to God's love, how do we think God's love is going to be any different? It's going to be so much more than that. So if you're in a place today and you're really hungry for an encounter with God, I just encourage you to lean into him. I have a video I want us to play. But Ron, we're only at about the first 5 minutes of it, not the full 11 minutes. I encourage you to find it. I've listened to it a bunch of times in my living room, in my car, in my office. And I just encourage you, as this video plays, you know, sometimes we invite people forward for ministry time, like for people to pray with you. But today, I feel like we're just supposed to invite you to come forward and have an encounter with God one-on-one without a human being involved this time. Now, if you want prayer after the service, I'll be happy to pray with you. I'm sure Johnny, Roger, Megan, Ron, and Judy, I'm sure many of people in this room would pray with you afterwards. But just for now, while the video plays, I encourage you to come forward as an act of faith and just say, God, I need an encounter with you. You can decide what it looks like, but I need an encounter with you. We celebrate. That is who you are. You are the great way maker. You are the great miracle worker. You are the great promise keeper. You are the great light in the darkness. That's who you are. That's who you are. We acknowledge it today as a group. We acknowledge, we build an altar to you right now, and we say, you are the great way maker. You are the great miracle worker. We worship you. We encounter you as the God of peace. And we thank you that even when we can't see you working, you're still working. Even when we can't hear you working, you're still working. Even when we mistakenly assume it's just a coincidence or a person, it's still you. And we are so thankful to you, Lord. We are so thankful. I just thank you for the people in this room right now who are going to encounter you in this week in ways they've never encountered you before. I thank you for dreams being given that people know are from you. I thank you for encounters in common places. In common places. Maybe in traffic. That you're going to encounter people in common places this week. But we're going to recognize it as being you. And God, I thank you for everyone in this room who's going to build an altar this week in some way to recognize your presence and to acknowledge your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you hunger for encounters with us as much or more than we hunger for encounters with you. And I thank you for your mercy and your grace that never grows weary of our questions and our need for proof. Just open our eyes to see you at work and to talk about it and to think about it and to dwell on those things where we see you at work, where we see your hand. Amen. Amen. Woo. I hope you can feel his presence in this room like I can, because it's really strong.